Hello, you're listening to a spoiler-filled film conversation. Hooray!
Ah, I'm insane with anger. I still said it wrong, didn't
No,
I? It's
you're
not
putting
bad.
too much emotion into it. He was going around
Yeah.
going, "I am insane with the anger."
Ah, I'm
It's
insane with
time for an
anger.
ass whooping.
I swore, I done a swear.
I cursed. I know I heard.
I heard.
I said the Jewish slur to a
Oh
policeman.
no. Oh
Oops.
God. I cursed Yamel. We all fucking
Yeah,
heard.
Mel, we heard you, bud. And it's not nice. Back it in, mate. Anyway, hello. Welcome to Spoiler Film Conversation. Hooray. Get your crops ready and a little board and a string and have some fun. Well, actually, no, we're not going to do crop circles, are we? We're going to do talking about a film as usual. Metaphor abandoned.
Don't pretend that you'd do anything but a cock in the grass.
A cock in the grass. Can you imagine if
Massive.
Signs was just penises drawn in
Oh.
cornfields? And they had to take it seriously and be like, well, it's obviously kids doing a prank. And it's, no, it's aliens doing a prank. They're complete assholes. Just people writing theses on what the cocks mean
I
and
mean, isn't
what
that what
they
the
thought
Nazca was part of
are.
our language? They see it so much that they're like, well, this is clearly how they communicate. So they
Oh,
just
so it's
put
like a
crop circles of
rival.
big dicks everywhere.
Big aubergine emoji in
Maybe
the wheat or whatever. Oh dear.
that's why
Anyway.
they've never made contact. They literally cannot interpret the bullshit that we spew at any given point.
Stuff we put out there is just immature garbage.
Oh, if we were sending out that satellite now, the one, the is it the Voyager that they put the man
They
and the
put
woman on and all the like, they put a fucking Beatles song in there or whatever. Now it would be the fucking emoji movie, a bunch of dicks drawn all over it.
Yeah, what song would be? We just send some probably the
Whap.
most well yeah, well, I suppose it would be great. But
The
that'd be fit right in with the big dicks. We think we're very horny people. I don't know, who could say what aliens think? M. Night Shyamalan, apparently he can think. He's thought about it and he's wrote a film and we should talk about it. Anyway, yes, this is me, Richard, and Abby and Jamie.
I am insane with anger.
You shouldn't be. You moderately pleased a minute ago.
I
I
actually
just.
just leave half glasses of water all over the place. That's not Oh,
even a joke, I just do.
yeah. As an OCD man, I felt seen by this movie, especially because it saves the day at the
I would say
end.
our house currently is littered with glasses of empty. What would, they say it can't be an empty glass of water, can it?
Yeah, you're
Glasses, just
right.
glasses that had water in. But yeah, I mean, do you think they're contaminated as soon as you had a sip, do you?
It doesn't matter what size receptacle I put any meal or any drink in. I only ever want two thirds of it, and then I don't want the rest.
Well, who does like the last bit of a drink, really? So you want the first bit, isn't it, every
It depends
time?
what it is, because like if it's a room temperature plastic bottle of Diet Coke,
Ugh.
and then you get to the bottom and it's basically just bin water.
That's the bit you love most. Or...
Yeah, the flat, overly chemical sweet warm goo at the bottom of a Diet Coke.
I want to finish this bottle of tequila to get the worm or whatever. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, if there is an alien invasion in this world, hopefully boxes containing miscellaneous items will save the day because that's what's littering our house. Just every surface, just a shoe box with some shit in that doesn't make a lot of sense, or just or laundry, piles of laundry
I
everywhere.
mean, clutter, I feel like, would be quite a good defense.
Yeah, laundry away, Abby, laundry away. Shwa! I just throw it at the aliens and they're like, oh, clothes, we shouldn't have invaded a planet that's 90% fabric.
Turns out we're allergic to fabric. That's why we're naked all the time.
Yeah, you don't need clothes when you can change your skin color to whatever. Imagine literally a skin tuxedo on.
Yeah, that was a weird thing that didn't seem to need to be in the
What's that? What lizard has that? Not a
Comedian.
chameleon. Yeah. Oh, we're jumping ahead a little bit here. The point is, we're doing the film Signs. I mean, most people have seen this. It's quite a quite a known film, but we should give the details either way. Yeah, so I picked the film. Partly, even though I don't remember.
It's great when you pay attention.
Anyway, Signs is from 2002. It stars Mel Gibson, Joaquin Phoenix, Rory McCulkin. Oh, no, it's not McCulkin, it's just Culkin. I could have sworn they were McCulkins.
Nope.
No, it's just that Macaulay.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
The other McCulk, one of the other McCulkins is putting a rogue Culkin. Muck in there. Culkin, yeah, you're right. His brother, McCulkin. Anyway, it's got Rory Culkin in, that I've now learned is his name. Abigail Breslin and Cherry Jones. And M. Night Shyamalan, who also directed and wrote the film. It's about some mysterious crop circles and a man who used to be a priest coming to terms with the fact that there's going to be an alien invasion and that maybe God is a thing. So yeah, most people have heard of or seen Signs, but hopefully it's fun to rehash it now for us. That's the main thing. So let's do that. I will say the reason I picked it is I guess I was in the mood for some alien stuff. And I remember this one, and I remember it vaguely being liked at the time, but also famously made fun of for the thing that defeats the aliens is like, what do you mean water kills the aliens? You could have just armed the world with super soakers and we'd destroy the aliens. I mean, what are you talking about? The planet is mostly water is the obvious thing to say, isn't it? Why are you coming here to farm humans?
Who are also made largely of water.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, it's an obvious point, but a point we've now made just to show we're not above anyone else's criticism of it. But I do remember liking it. I think it's because it was quite a reasonable premise of just let's see what it's like for one family. There's crop circles, and what's that mean? And it's quite... they're quite sceptical that it's aliens. Like everyone's no one's in a hurry to say this is aliens, and so it's sort of it's like a skeptic's nightmare because turns out no matter all the rational arguments you have, it was aliens.
The fact that you enjoyed it blows my mind.
What I wanted was a movie about crop circles where everyone panicked, thought it was aliens, then it turned out it was some lads with a board and a string. They were just very good at organizing themselves. You know, it's early on in the Shyamalan, should we say universe? The Shyamalan-iverse?
Because he has more recently started trying to sort of build his own Marvel shared universe with his own stuff, which is not advisable.
No.
Yeah. Like before
Nothing
this,
good what... has come of this.
Yeah.
There's a reason that comic franchises have to literally destroy their entire canon every 10 years or so because you can't keep that shit up.
Yeah. So we're not fans of trying to make all your movies be one big epic universe then.
No.
Also, this doesn't fit in with any universe, does it?
No.
It's not like in a world where aliens invaded, we beat them with water. And then also Unbreakable exists, and people see ghosts. Like they don't all go together, do they?
There
it's
is
only the one series. It's only was it Unbreakable that has the three?
Yeah,
two other movies,
which is a shame because like in isolation, Unbreakable is a good film. So tying it into ones that are not as good is a shame.
Because what came first, Sixth Sense and Unbreakable, then this, right? This was like one of this third main movie. And I think Anthony, who didn't join us today, his thing was this was the first sign that he was starting to slip into like slightly more dodgy territory film.
I don't agree with Anthony on that one.
No.
I hope he hears this.
Maybe. But I don't think this is a misstep. In fact, I would go so far as to say this is my favourite M. Night movie.
That's a surprise too.
I just
see that many.
I think most of them have something. What's he known for? Like stupid twists and slightly dubious plots, or
I think the twist thing is not his fault. I think it's because he made such an impact with The Sixth Sense, and a big part of that film is the reveal at the end. And again, that's for that film, that isn't a bad thing. But I think for his career after that, every film people were expecting a twist. And like Unbreakable, which is the follow-up, doesn't have one in the way that The Sixth Sense does. Neither does this.
Is it a twist that Samuel Jackson is a villain in it? Or
no, it's kind of a like reveal, but it's not like it's not a twist in the same way that The Sixth Sense is. But The Sixth Sense is one is done so well, and it made such a huge impact when it landed in that way that like then every film he made subsequently, people interpreted any plot development as the big twist, and it kind of hurt the films.
I think there's a slightly hackiness to some of his films as well, isn't there?
And I do think the one that was the beginning of the sort of downward slope is the one after this, which was The Village, which like does have a big things, twist, and it's a really stupid one.
Yeah.
And then, after that, he's been very... he hit a slump for a while. There was that fucking Avatar, the last Airbender movie that he made that was like...
supposedly sacrilegious to the people who love Avatar.
Well, there's that.
Also, it bad in its own right.
Yeah, just really poorly directed, awful, awful film. Lady in the Water was apparently not great.
Well, people like to see his films. Like, they've gone to see Old, which is one of the stupidest premises I've ever heard.
It is, but...
And then
and
that
it's...
cabin in the woods. What? No, that's not right. What's it called? The one where
Knock at the Cabin. Yeah. Well, apparently that's good. Apparently, the one with the old couple. Oh God, it's like a home invasion type movie.
The point is, people want to see them, even though he's handed in some terrible dreck.
Oh, The Happening was the other one that was like,
oh yeah,
possibly the worst, along with Avatar, because it was the plants are murdering people with gas or whatever.
Is it what Mark Wahlberg's on about? The bees have gone or whatever.
Yeah.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
This is probably the best because I've seen it and lots of them have gone, that looks stupid.
But it's he is still capable of making good stuff. He has made stuff recently that I haven't seen, but the consensus is generally like, he still has it. It's just that he kind of goes with every idea he has, and sometimes that's not great, but sometimes it pays off.
I liked Wayward Pines for the most part, and it is
I can't handle that as a Twin Peaks fan. It was too close.
I know what you mean. But I was surprised I liked it as much as I did, because I was like, oh, I'm not sure I'm going to like this, and then I did. But then it did start to fall apart because he was having too many ideas.
Yeah. To be fair, also does happen in Twin Peaks in the second halfway through the second season.
Yeah. So, Abby, you seen this at the time?
No. It just didn't line up with me. I didn't avoid it or anything. It just didn't happen.
Was this the first time for you then?
Yes, first time I've seen Signs.
Oh.
You're about to ask me about my expectations, so I'll just tell you now. My expectation was Anthony practically begged not to have to watch this film again. So my expectations were low.
Well, he couldn't be asked for it because he'd seen it and it was his birthday. So we're like, he could have the day off. That's how much people love doing the pod, is like, you have to the gift of not doing it.
Or, I mean, to be fair, it is difficult to talk about Mel Gibson in 2023, especially when he puts in a good performance.
Yeah, he's not quite as bad as someone like Kevin Spacey, but
but
anti-Semitism is pretty up there for awful things to be. Yeah,
that is at least something like you can reform an opinion. You can't really reform an act.
You can't take back cock grabbing. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, but you can change your mind about something, and you can move on.
These are fine. Actually, I mean, changing my opinion.
If there's some way for someone to do some kind of intervention for Mel Gibson and get him out of the weird sub-cult of Catholicism that he's in, that his fucking dad invented or whatever mad shit he's into.
Isn't Jodie Foster trying? Is she the one?
Jodie Foster.
Oh, God, I don't imagine he talks to her anymore.
I don't know about this gossipy stuff. I mean, he's had a long career.
No, but it's like she was the one who got him into the Ferret? Weasel?
Ferret? The beaver?
What was it? Beaver.
But that's like, he's in therapy. He's having like puppet therapy, or he's come up with puppet therapy for himself. That's quite the film. That's fiction, Abby.
I think she was trying to help him out a bit after everything.
Unconvert him from Catholicism.
She was just being nice, I think. Some people just want just to do a nice thing for someone.
Just trying to help. Like, we're all hoping Simon Pegg pulls Tom Cruise out of Scientology.
So she, Jodie Foster's like, I saw Passion of the Christ, Mel. You're right, mate. Bit fucking much, is it not?
I mean, not to go off on too much of a tangent, but Mel Gibson, I think, is very much going down the Jim Caviezel path at the moment. So,
oh yeah, is he doing TikToks in his car or something?
He's been hanging out with some figures that are less than savoury recently, I'd say. But yeah, we won't get into that too much.
For a man who's very much on the edge of being cancelled, he is beloved by many, and it's going to be, you have to do something much more controversial to people not to go see old Big Mel.
He's in the same bubble as like James Woods or John Voight. Wow, this person's really talented. It's a shame they're a shit in real life.
Yes, exactly.
It's a bit like when you've got a teddy from your youth and it's absolutely beat to shit and stained. You can't quite bring yourself to get rid of it, but one day you will. It's like, one day you're going to put it in the washing machine. It's either going to be destroyed in the washing machine or come out okay.
Yeah, I'd love to put John Voight in the washing machine. Jimmy, had you seen Signs before?
Surprisingly, no.
Ooh. And so what were you expecting this time? For the first time.
I don't know why I'd never seen this.
You don't like alien stuff?
No, I do, and like in real life find the idea of like, you know, find abduction stories and all that stuff really interesting. Not necessarily saying I believe it's all true or is not just
like Tom DeLong. Calm down.
I feel like it dropped in a really bad place in the sort of release environments where it was sort of like
9/11.
Nobody gives a shit about aliens because something else just happened.
Or what I mean more is the release wasn't big enough for it to come to the UK, probably.
It was in the UK.
And
yeah, it was all over the place.
It was big. A big time. You guys are the outliers.
No, but also with video releasing, that was kind of on the wane as well. So it might not have even bothered to get a video release.
I mean,
I think I probably did
watch it on video rather than in the cinema.
No,
if it was in the video store, that cover is not appealing to.
Well, it didn't put Mel Gibson on the front, which was probably bold not to put your big stars on it.
I appreciate that. I think that's pretty good. But
yeah, cool.
I was a fan of The Sixth Sense. I remember when that came out. It was one of those. I got that on VHS. It was in one of those really nice boxes that wasn't the snap case. It was like the cardboard, like the thick cardboard that like whispers open when you open it.
Oh, he hates the cardboard ones.
They disintegrate, which is a shame.
Fun fact about that film. Do you know Bruce Willis? He's a ghost, isn't it?
Fucking spoilers. Yeah. But the gripe I have with that film, and this film does it as well, I think it might just be a thing he does, is when it reveals like the big twist, spoilers, Bruce Willis was a ghost the whole time, I don't like the fact that it then goes back over all of the clues and shows you what was really happening. And it's such a confident film up to that point that I was like, no, just fucking reveal it. And then put the onus on me, the viewer, to go back and watch the film again and pay attention.
This isn't fucking CSI. We don't need.
Yeah, don't show me. You don't have to have like a parlor scene where you tell me what happened. And this film does it as well, where right at the end of
flashback.
The film. Yeah, where it shows that the alien is missing two fingers, and then we get a brief flashback of him cutting the fingers off. I fucking know, I was there. I was watching the film.
He has to have a flashback to his wife.
Well,
saying swing away.
No, I see. That was okay because it told us first and then it showed it And
but
again,
it hadn't happened before.
Praising the performances, Mel Gibson is very good at playing someone who is clearly about to completely lose their mind with grief. I thought the whole like wife dead storyline thing was really well done. I hadn't seen this. I was a fan of The Sixth Sense. I don't know why I never watched this. I remember hype for it. I remember reading reviews in Total Film and people liking it. I remember people not liking the water thing, which is also fine. We'll get into that. I don't know. I don't know why I never saw it. I find aliens interesting as like a cultural touch point. It just didn't end up in front of me for some reason. I was expecting something much more akin to, I think, what people criticize M. Night Shyamalan for. So I was expecting it to be a lot schlockier and sillier and maybe a bit more like monster movie-ish, kind of like it is really, in the last half an hour.
But it really holds back. It's doing even more than Jaws. It's holding back on showing you the scary thing.
Well, and when we do finally see the scary thing... you see why. than Jaws.
Kind of, yeah. I think the main thing it is it's good the first time, and then the second time you're like, oh, come on, we know where this is heading. So first time it's sort of like, there's so much anticipation if you haven't seen it, whereas if you've seen it before, you're like, God, is this happening? Is this still going on?
I think what I had forgotten about The Sixth Sense... and something Unbreakable does really well too, and I guess now this I know does well, is there are a lot of layers to the stories M. Night Shyamalan writes that don't hinge on whatever the twist people are expecting is. And like, it is very character driven, and it is very much about the family and their story, which is why I sort of forgive the water thing at the end, because it's like, well, that's not really what the film's been about. Like, it's not been about fighting the invasion. It's been about this family kind of bonding and coming to terms with something, and this man coming to terms with something, and that's really well done.
That brings me to my big gripe about this film, is that it didn't need to be a whole invasion of aliens, because we only ever saw, like, we only ever interacted with one, and they had a beef.
Yes.
Between each other.
Actually, that was one of my expectations as well. I didn't know that it was an invasion thing. I thought that it was just a family that was like the aliens were attempting to abduct. Which is why whenever I saw like clips of the aliens acting a little bit more like, they're less like typical alien, like gray aliens that you see in pop culture, and they're more like animals. In this, like they're more aggressive, and I was expecting to not like it because I was expecting it to just be a sort of monster in the house movie. So when it was an invasion thing, I was like, oh, that's and then it, and not just an invasion thing, but like a really slow burn invasion that's very much about like build up.
And it's not like the one, I don't know if it's a criticism or not, but it doesn't go the route of, say, Independence Day, which is,
or War of the Worlds.
Sure, but it's got that thing of, there's never, we must fire missiles at the mysterious thing. It's like, oh, that's, we're observing it, and we're concerned, and we don't know, and then there's a...
It was weirdly realistic in how everyone was just sort of upset, but wasn't doing anything, because what the fuck can you do?
It's the classic approach to emergencies that the West takes, which is, oh, there's an emergency, let's sit and watch it on TV. but I think that one thing, you go, okay, you've seen the UFOs gathering, but at that stage... It's undeniably weird. And then there should be, oh, look, a bird crashed into it. They're invisible. They are still there. And then it's like, well, we either need to send up helicopters or planes or communicate or shoot it down. And we don't really get any of that, we're going to attack or make peace with the aliens. It's just, we'll wait. There's a lot of waiting.
What the fuck are we going to do? Yeah, I mean, and I think it's this sort of... It's like a standoff situation that you only vaguely see.
Yes, we can't fully criticize it or say, oh, that wouldn't happen. Well, because they only know a bit of the story because they're dealing with their close-up alien encounter, but also trying to keep tabs on what's happening in the rest of the world.
But I also, I understand what Abby's saying as well. Is it like, it's almost like do you really need the invasion thing? Can it not just be a family being hassled? Could you cut a little bit of that out?
Yeah, everything those aliens did could have been achieved by a crew of like 3, 4, 5 aliens. So one ship's worth of aliens could have achieved everything that the aliens achieved in this film.
Doesn't seem to be much.
Yeah, the one thing that also sucks is, so the aliens who are speculated to be an invasion force, or at least coming down to do the initial, the reveal on the radio is, the aliens were possibly there to harvest humans for something. And so they sent down a probing force or whatever to investigate. And so if they're abducting humans, it's like, what, you're not armed, you're just naked. And to be fair, when the alien like confronts them in the house, Joaquin Phoenix could take a bat to it, and it doesn't even do anything. It just gets hit, and it stands there like, fucking hell. I've used my gas on the kid. I guess I'll just let you twat me with a baseball bat until you realise water's a bit more dangerous.
The last 20 minutes of this film robbed it of all the goodwill I had for all the rest.
I liked Joaquin Phoenix getting to grab a baseball bat and smash some shit up. That was quite nice, just because it was fun to watch. But, I mean, I suppose we're jumping ahead to the end, but like the full reveal of the CGI alien and then having too much of it on screen.
Well, they've been showing it like tiny bits at a time, so they wanted something payoff. Shots in the TV, the reflection of the turned off. And on the rooftop where they just see a silhouette and a leg in the corn and things. I don't mind a little bit shown of it.
That's one of the things that this film did remind me of, is something that M. Night Shyamalan is really good at, is he does understand how to effectively film like horror in a gore fucking Saw movie torture porn shit, like actual like old school
I've dropped my flashlight
unsettling horror, but also not a lot of jump scares. Like there weren't really any like big like you get in like Blumhouse horror movies. It was more like little things happening.
It irritated me when they were in the basement, the alien attacks, and you don't see any of it. You see the little girl's feet and a torch. Really?
Some of it's weird. There's some odd camera movement choices. One where when the alien goes up on the roof, the bit where they're chasing it outside the house, there's this bizarre shot from up on the roof of Joaquin Phoenix looking up, and then he like goes around the side of the house and the camera follows him, and then he goes back and the camera follows him back, and it's like, is this from the aliens? What is this shot about? Like, what's happening?
Yeah, these aliens that could jump on roofs don't bring anything else to fight you. And as Mel Gibson, it's sort of meta criticism of the movie. It's like, oh, we can board up the house. And it's like, well, how will that stop them? It's like, well, a pantry stopped one of them. So
I thought that was pretty funny. Seemed to have problems with the pantry door.
There's some nice mild comedy throughout. It's always got like a slightly wry, self-aware of the criticisms that alien conspiracies have. It's always slightly making fun of the concept itself and skepticism and belief. And
generally, this is something that, again, I was surprised, and I think I'd forgotten. It's another thing that Shyamalan does do in his good movies that he's good at, is there's that kind of like, it's almost like a Spielberg type of humor that his films have, where like it's not quite breaking the fourth wall, but it's winking enough at the audience to let you know that this is, you know, there's something meant to be kind of jokey and silly going on with this. And like the actual humor between, like, I loved how lame Mel Gibson's character is.
How lame he was.
Dorky fucking dweeb who won't even swear. Like it's such a different type of role for him.
Yeah, it's good. It contrasts nicely.
And again, you know, he's really good in it. It's all baggage aside, he is very good in this film. And
there's none of that Lethal Weapon vibe that you'd expect from him, is there?
But there are little moments of mania that work really well because of how like pent up he is. Like the dinner scene where he starts trying all of everyone's food because he's losing his mind, and then he starts crying, and then everybody starts crying. And maybe it's because I have like a 6-year-old kid that I felt that scene.
Quick aside, does anyone eat fucking French toast with mashed potato? Is that a normal thing for a kid to ask for?
It's an odd combination.
I don't know. Like, I get, oh yeah, you like eggy bread or you like potato.
I suppose savory and sweet. I don't know. I don't really like mashed potato, so.
They look nice, though.
It's just mush.
The sauce looks nice. Is. But, you know, potato aside, it was
French toast is fine.
Yeah. I'm just, like, I like it. It must have been such a everyone picks such disparate meals as well. It's like, oh my
chicken
God.
Chicken teriyaki.
When you defeat the aliens, you've got a lot of fucking washing up to do.
Yeah.
This spaghetti looked fucking terrible as well. It looked like it was made of Play-Doh.
Why was it separate from the meatballs?
They're white guys. They're blonde. They're blue-eyed Americans. They don't know.
Maybe it was the kid. She clearly has some kind of obsessive compulsive.
Oh, don't
issue.
Let them touch something.
So, like, yeah, don't mix the meatballs and the spaghetti.
On the sort of point of, because we did talk about the aliens coming and stuff. We'll go back to some of the other stuff later. But the two other things with the aliens is one. Okay, the aliens are trying to get humans, so they're like trying to get in the house that they've boarded up, and one. We're boarding doors that open the other way. What the fuck are you doing?
I didn't think about that. Right, now you've ruined the film.
There's also one. The main door into the house has one board on it, whereas like they've put like four or five on the windows and stuff. And they realise that, okay, the attic's possibly a way in, and it's a call chute or something that the one alien gets in. And it gets in, and it just casually puts an arm through the grid so it can
then touch a child.
That
was a strange moment. I was just talking about how he's good at doing effective, like, spooky stuff, but that bit was kind of weird because the kid, for whatever reason, chose to stand directly in harm's... Yeah, that was a bit...
In the dark.
Yeah.
They're looking for it, and they're going, oh, I can feel the air. And you're like, maybe it's the thing with the door on it that's covered in coal and stuff. Maybe that's where the coal chute is.
The way I like to reconcile that is that alien got really tired coming down that coal chute. It was having a rest. And then the kid was suddenly right there and it was like, oh, fuck. put his hand there. Then it gets
back on it again.
Like, oh, fuck.
Hey, while I'm thinking of it, things that annoyed me about boarding themselves up in the house. Another thing was, okay, it's your cardinal sin, Abby. The dogs die in this film. Not one, but two. But they leave their dog outside, the pricks. Like, who leaves their dog unboarded?
To be fair, I was going to say they were panicking, but also, no, you would, like, if you have a dog, it is another family member. Like, it's like having another child.
It
may have slipped the adults' minds, but those kids would have been like, we need to get the dog in.
Also traumatized by the other dog that had turned on them.
True.
Yeah, maybe. But it would have been better if they were like, just boarded in the kennel. Stay there, bud.
Well, that was the plan.
Yeah, it was supposed to be in the garage.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's a bit harsh again. Oh, whatever. But I don't know, that felt a bit like dog lovers must have been like, oh, you're killing one dog and then just having the creepy silence of another dog being snuffed out.
The kid having to murder a dog fairly close to the beginning of this movie was a surprisingly dark turn. Like, I appreciated that the film had a generally, well, maybe light is the wrong word. Maybe in the context of, like, looking
mild.
Back on it now, like, it's not
it
that
wasn't
tense
like Predator,
of a film now.
Was it? You know?
Yeah.
It pussyfooted a lot around things. Like, the stuff it didn't show and it just sort of alluded to was really pussyfooting.
Yeah, I think it was intentional.
It was intentional, but it did also sort of rob it of some of its...
teeth.
Yeah.
I see what you mean. And it's...
What Culkin, like, decapitating a dog and holding its head up like, fuck you!
I think
that bit was okay. I mean, later on, when it's sort of like, oh, you can't watch them have a little punch up in the cellar, but we can watch him beat it to death with a baseball bat. It's like, are we seeing stuff or are we not seeing stuff? It's like, have some consistency.
It was the strange thing that I found after watching this and then going and looking at, like, trivia and stuff, was how many people said that it should have been rated R or, like, have a higher rating, because it's in the US it's PG-13.
Well, yeah, and, it's bloodless, though, isn't it?
I would almost put this at a PG, and maybe it's because
it's got, like, mum pinned against a tree, car accident, and it's got fingers being chopped off.
Yeah,
it?
I think it's more. Yeah, some of the actual, like, I don't know. I could imagine
it's the
watching
themes
this with
that make it more adult than the. Yeah. It's the themes, not the scenes.
The tension, if anything, makes it scary.
The absolute fucking brutality of what happened to his wife when you find out. It is quite something. I was not expecting it to be. No, she was fully pinned to a tree and alive and just slowly dying. I was like, Jesus Christ.
I'm just going to have the last conversation with my wife.
Oh, fuck. And those scenes were so well done. I liked the way it dropped them in and then had it. So this is this is something that I think surprises me that you like it because of this.
Okay.
I really like the way it tied in the theme of signs and coincidence and like things being meant to be, and the way that like unfolded through the dialogue and then through things that happened and the way it came together at the end. Really sort of appreciated how well seeded throughout the film that was.
The idea was well seeded throughout the film, but I feel like the concept was misunderstood because all the stuff they kept putting down as signs were like, well, no, a sign kind of has to be close to the event.
I think
you can't say something 6 months before something happens and say it's a sign.
Abby, you're thinking like a non-religious person.
Yeah.
The speech Mel Gibson gives, or is it Wacky Phoenix and Mel Gibson are talking.
Wacky Phoenix's sign.
It's great. I really like that scene.
What you mean?
The one where he was like, I was going to kiss this girl. He was a teenager. He was like, I was going to kiss this girl, and I realized I had gum in my mouth. So I turned around and I took the gum out and I put it in a paper cup. But then she threw up all over herself, and I was like, oh, this is a sign.
Yeah.
It wasn't a fucking sign.
That's
funny. You're a teenage dickhead.
It's quite quietly funny. That's why that's one of the examples. It's really gross as well. Like, it has dog piss, and then like a dog pisses on the floor, and Mel Gibson's mopping it up, and then a police officer comes in and starts talking about a spitting old lady.
Oh God, yeah.
It's got like.
She must be sick. She coated the whole street. I'm not going to eat for a week.
Oh my God. Yeah, so there's loads of like gross. Like got
there's
dogs
good...
being killed.
They got burnt
barbecue, like Culkin's cooking up a barbecue just so he can have a massive fork on him for when the dog attacks. It's like, oh, this always gets burnt. It's like, you're cooking it, kid. Don't worry. Take the chicken off. But yeah, like this, it's full of gross stuff. And it is, anyway, Joaquin Phoenix talking about signs and stuff. They have a conversation about there's two, was it Mel says there's two types of people? One
basically
is like
people who.
Normal, skeptical people who think life just happens and they're a bit scared because they think they're alone in a crisis. And then they're kind of believers who think they have the, I don't know, God on their side helping them through a crisis. And that basically deluded religious people can see signs in anything and can attribute like coincidental things and join dots that perhaps aren't connected. And then so that concept plays out in the film because something his dying wife said to him becomes helpful as a clue to fight off the alien. Oh, I would have never thought of beating the alien to death if my wife hadn't have said, swing away.
It layers some stuff in, though, because it's... So what I... Again, part of what I really liked about that scene, that conversation where they're talking about the two different types of people and seeing signs or whatever... I really like the way it turns. So it starts out as this like quite reassuring thing that he's telling his brother.
Yes.
Where instead of the characters, Mel Gibson and Joaquin Phoenix are brothers. Totally believable casting.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson's character's wife died.
Sorry, so just before they introduce the dead wife, they both wake up in the house, the kids are silent and therefore something's wrong. Their mum instincts kick in.
Absolutely believable. Absolutely believable. If I'm sitting in the house and both of my kids are at home and I can't hear them, something's going on.
Nothing noisier than a silence. And so they're up looking for the kids. And there was a kind of vibe of, oh, maybe these are like lovers. These are like my two dads.
Mel Gibson wouldn't be in the movie if that was the case.
Oh, well, you know.
You would have flushed that script down the toilet.
I don't. I wasn't expecting to have to talk about that. In Mad Max 2 is very homosexual. He's in that, surely. Surely he's a bit more, he's an
Yeah,
actor.
but
He
they're the
can.
villains, so he can like compartmentalize it.
All right. Okay. Well, that aside, I thought for a minute they were lovers, and then I was like, wait, what are they? Are they is it is he an uncle or something? Oh, I don't know. I think he's his brother, right? And
Yeah.
he's living with the Mel because in like 6 months ago the wife died, and it also rocked this guy who used to be a priest's faith, and
Yeah.
so Joaquin Phoenix as the younger brother is just kind of trying to be a mensch uncle helping out and
I think he
living
is, but
there.
I think he also, his life is just ground to a halt and he's
He's
not
failed
really.
to, oh, the Bell or like Joaquin Phoenix as a
Joaquin
sort of
Phoenix, because
ex-baseball
he's
player.
considering joining the army because he doesn't really know like what to do.
Yes, to do, yeah.
Like he's just. So I think
Anyway,
he moved in as it's like, well, maybe I can find some purpose by moving here. I really like his performance in this film as just weird sort of loser uncle.
it's good. As a loser, sort of weird uncle, I agree, it was good. All the moments where he's just like quietly doing something. Like, Abby, you quite liked the scene where he was walking up to you.
Oh, just that couple of seconds where his eyes open, he looks around, but it's a good 3 seconds before he goes, "What?"
Yeah.
I
I like
also
all
like
of
the
the.
bit
Go
when
on.
he went to go and visit that military guy to get like leaflets or whatever, and he sees that guy he went to school with, and he does
Yeah.
that sort
Like he would
scare.
jump punch, like fuck you,
Yeah.
shut
Or he nudges him while he's writing to like fuck up whatever he's filling the form in. The guy who plays that general, I don't know who he is, but he's incredible in that scene.
His lips
He's
are insane.
so weird.
An unsolicited advice of someone who's
Name is
experienced in a position of power, just like
I think
bleh,
Ted Sutton is the
bleh. All
actor.
right.
I swore like watching it, I was like, I swear I've seen this guy in something. But I went through his IMDb and I don't see anything familiar. I guess he's just this fantastically strange man who I want to see in more things. I say that now. Last thing he was in was in 2009, so hopefully he's not dead.
No,
Yeah,
we'll put him
no.
in the same category of, no, I just decided to quit acting and
Could
open
be
like an
asked.
antique store.
Yeah.
Well, your fan theories aside, talk about this
How
idea
dare
of.
you put our fan theories aside? This is
Bleh.
what the show is about.
It's not about guessing whether a guy's dead that we could just look up. And either it's tragic or he's not, and you're wrong that he hasn't quit acting, he just hasn't got a job. Like, what are we going to do here? We either look up the guy or we fucking don't talk about it. What's the point of just like speculating on whether an actor we saw in this and
Fine.
nothing else? Let's get back to the
Speculation at hand.
yeah. Speculation
J
about aliens.
Well, more importantly, speculation about me and why I may or may not have liked this. And you're suggesting that what? Because it's about religious faith or coincidences or signs and
Okay,
stuff that I'd think it
so
was stupid.
I think reading it as just being a religious thing, I don't necessarily think that is what the film is saying. I think that's the lens it's putting it through with Mel Gibson's character, but I don't necessarily think it's definitively saying no, that like God is real
No,
and the
he's explaining faith for people, isn't it?
yes, and I think it's more about there is I the impression I got from this is that, Shyamalan might believe that there is something more than just like everything being random chance and luck, but I don't know if the film is necessarily about like God and
No.
Christian religion. I think it's more about the idea that like there is something more, we just don't know what it is, and there's some kind of guiding force, and in the
Well,
universe of this film, that is a real thing, and where we sort of see it acted like we see it act in the way that it acts through like moving bits around on a chessboard through like coincidences and things happening and
I don't
people
think it
interpreting things like.
is. Yes, it's about him interpreting. He's
Yes.
remembered his wife and the last thing she said, and it's tenuously linked to the moment that saves his family. But it's just saying people of faith, people who were you know, priests who've lost their faith, they can have it back. And it's kind of it's positive in that it's people surviving a horrible alien invasion. It's about there being, Joaquin Phoenix is annoyed with Mel Gibson's character because he's like, I don't want to see your eyes like that again. And he's like, well, what do you want about? I don't want you to see looking sad and defeated. Be more positive.
That's reminded me of what I was going to say about that scene.
Yeah.
Where they're talking on the couch and it starts out as this positive, reassuring thing. And we get the funny story from Joaquin Phoenix. And then he asks Mel Gibson's character, he asks him, what kind of person are you? And then Mel Gibson, fucking keep calling him Mel Gibson.
Oh, no, the character's name? Graham. Father. Don't call me father, father.
Graham.
Graham. Okay. If you say so.
So he says, well, you felt comforted. Why does it matter what I think? And he kind of pushes him a bit and makes him talk about it. So he talks about the last thing his wife said was swing away. And then he says that's because the neurons in her brain as it was dying were firing and she was remembering you at a baseball. Like, he completely deflates all of the reassurance he just gave and was like, no, it's fucked. We're fucked. There is no God. We're on our own. It's like, Christ. Then, whoa.
The film is an examination of the two different sides you could take, which is the skeptic and the true believer. And obviously, the aliens are confirmed as real, so the true believers were right in that sense. And Mel's character, Graham, as you say, Father Graham, whatever, he has his faith brought back. But it's the kind of thing where you go, well, it does also. That doesn't confirm God. I mean, God, there were still aliens. Do these aliens have a God that they believe in? There's a lot of... I think an alien invasion rocks your faith usually. The fact that the guy was like, do you know what? I've saved my family and I've joined these dots up to do... Like, I see it as a miracle that these seemingly random connections have made and they've made me save my family and brought my faith back. And we see him with a dog collar on at the end. That's just... how believers think. They've had their belief confirmed by some events. And I think you could equally see that and go, oh yeah, but that was just a coincidence. Like, yeah, it doesn't tell you God's real.
Just like looking at it as the film presents it, is that like, you know, he gets his faith back and his version of faith happens to be that he's a Catholic priest, but you know, there are other versions of it as well.
So there's no problem conveying how believers get their belief back. That's an okay story to tell. And I think also, I'd sooner an alien invasion over fucking stupid ghosts, because there's something more plausible about aliens and something more compelling about crop circles and the sort of conspiracies that
It's one of those things that, like, it's the same with ghosts and aliens and anything like that. They're things that I would love to be proven that they're real. Please prove me wrong. I think that's why I give films that deal with them such a big pass, like this or The Sixth Sense or anything else like that.
You
really
want to believe?
That, like, yes, I am. Like, well, I was gonna say I'm like Fox Mulder, but no, because he kind of comes in already believing, even though he says I want to believe. I want to be more like Scully and be like, well, I'm skeptical, but please, for the love of God, prove me wrong because I'm terrified.
Well, I think with I'd sooner aliens exist than ghosts.
Both, give me both.
Or ghost aliens.
Yes.
Hmm.
Ghosts of Mars.
Oh dear. Like, so this film, what I like about it, isn't this story of a grief and faith and belief. That's good. That's nice character development stuff to hang up on. I don't. The inserts this time around for me of the flashbacks to his what the story was, because basically M. Night Shyamalan, as the creator, writer, director. It's quite weird when his character has killed the guy's wife, because he did, because he's the writer. So he wrote her to be dead and has given these characters trauma.
Yeah.
And then he turns up as the physical embodiment in the movie of... Is that why they want to get a doctor instead of a vet for the dog?
He doesn't want to take the dog to the vet because the vet killed his fucking wife by pinning her to a tree with his truck. I still cannot stress enough how horrific that is.
Not vindictively, he fell asleep at the
wheel.
Yeah,
he fell asleep at the wheel. Like, no, there's a good sense of, like, tragedy to that. And, like, M. Night Shyamalan loves putting himself in his movies. He loves doing the Hitchcock thing. Sometimes too much.
Well, in this case, the other thing that annoyed me about him, it goes a bit far. Okay, you're sad and you see the family whose mother you've taken away and you don't know what to do. And then there's a scene where he sort of sees father, whatever, Graham, in ex-father Hess.
I bet Mel Gibson's dad was probably very proud that his son was playing a character with the last name Hess. Anyway, moving on.
You didn't have to go there. M. Night Shyamalan's character is like bumps into him again, and once the aliens are more confirmed than just there's a couple of crop circles here and there. They're nice, fun. The first one we see is just a circle. They pan out and it's a bit more complicated and therefore a bit more elaborate and therefore more of a challenge for a rogue artist to make. But I like we see the classic crop circle, the bigger one. And then they become more sightings of them around the world. That's followed by lights in the sky and UFOs confirmed. Then they vanish, and then it's like, what the fuck are we going to do about this alien invasion? Once it's definitely an alien invasion, and the only hope is, I don't know, M. Night Shyamalan is the one to come in and go, hello, I think they're frightened of water. You ever notice how they're
going to the lake, bye.
Yeah, I'm going to the lake. Sorry for killing your wife. Also, I've trapped her in the pantry. Bye.
I really like the way he just says that and then drives off.
It's very comedy, but it's very like, what the fuck's this guy doing? He had an incident with an alien, trapped it in the pantry. And it's like, I'm not calling the cops or dealing with this.
The pantry scene is one of the ones I wanted to talk about, because I really liked how that, like, what is effectively a jump scare is constructed. Like, it was a, because there's a scene in this film that people always talk about as one of the scariest scenes in a film from this era.
You mean the like found footage, Brazilian, the Portuguese birthday party,
yeah,
reveal of the alien like Sasquatch.
I can see why.
Abby, what do you think of it? Was it really scary and intense when they show? The news footage has footage of a birthday party where they spot an alien for the first time.
Or did you see too much of the CGI alien for it to be scary?
Because it was out of focus, I think they got away with that one.
Mm.
But it was just, they kept showing me these other countries that weren't relevant.
Yeah, so you're coming back to your beef about we don't need it to be the worldwide invasion. Thing.
Yeah, it's just, it's what's it called? Chekhov's gun. They kept saying these things like, oh, they're in India, oh, they're in Brazil, oh, they're here, oh, they're there. We never left. No, we were in, like, five streets the whole time.
Yeah, it's kind of, I see what he's doing with the idea of, like, he wants to do War of the Worlds, but from a single family's perspective. But, like, I guess pare it down more then? Like,
it had a similar feeling to, which one was it? Was it one of the Marvel movies where we kept just... No, it was one of the Supermans where we kept going back to the staff of the newspaper and what they were up to. Like, they were the only people in Metropolis.
Experiencing the tragedy. What I would say in defense of it, I don't think it's a big problem that it's a worldwide invasion that we don't see much of. It's about how people react. If they were just having a phenomenon happen to them, they're like in rural America somewhere, and they're like they're starting to think there's aliens after them, they can leave and get away. If it's a worldwide catastrophe, they have to kind of
stay,
board themselves in, and it's like the grief of also post 9/11. It's everyone sitting there going, fuck, this has changed the world.
I hadn't thought about that, but
I think there's a general idea of it's happening everywhere because
what
that stops
it.
We have to deal with our family. We can't help, and no one can help us with this because everyone's experiencing the terror. Huh. And I think
it's
that's
weird.
What it wants to
it's
do.
It's almost like, imagine if something like that had happened in recent years where we all had to, stay in our houses and kind of worry about what was going on, but have no idea how to deal with it. It's not something I can relate to at all. But
they didn't have enough bog roll, I know that much, from my experience, or dry pasta.
Actually, we've all learned at this point that if something like this happened, people would be going outside and shouting up at the UFOs to prove that they're not real.
It's a real turnaround from Independence Day, where there were people on the roof like, yay, aliens!
You were heading, Jamie, to a different point, though, about less...
So I was going to say...
The children's birthday party footage was, okay, it was iconic, but for you, there was an alternate bit that was more...
Yeah, I think important. Part of the reason that scene doesn't work for me is just that I didn't see this film when it came out, and I've seen other similar things done better over time.
I like Joaquin Phoenix's reaction where he jumps backwards.
I was going to say, his reaction to it is fucking fantastic. It's such a, like... really well done person. We were talking about something else before we started about seeing a bee when you're not expecting it. Really close. It's like he was doing something and there was a big spider when he picked up an object.
And then he has to get close for the replay where they cut out the preamble of the birthday to just show us the alien. What I like as well is at this stage, at some point they've been like watching the news footage tell them there's aliens or there's UFOs and lights and things. And so they've all been watching the TV for hours, and then they're like, the kids have been watching it so long that Joaquin Phoenix is like, well, they should sleep, but I'm going to take the TV under the stairs.
There's another good moment where Mel Gibson when he gets the phone call from the vet that gets him to go over to the house, he hears and say, father, and then drop the phone, and you could hear like weird footsteps. Yeah. And he goes to the closet under the stairs, grabs his coat, gets ready and leaves, and then you see Joaquin Phoenix just lean out of the closet.
Yeah,
it's a really good shot.
It's good.
But
in the pantry in the vet house, which remembered it being in their house because the alien turns up inexplicably at their house.
Yeah,
it must just know the way. Google Maps. But, oh no, 2002. No Google.
No,
Maps.
He's not wearing a tinfoil hat, so it read his thoughts.
Of course.
That was a great sight gag.
I loved.
Do you mean when the kids have it on, or when Wacky Felix joins them on the sofa?
When all three of them have it.
It's such a good, like, initial joke of the kids just having them on, and then the follow-up of, all three of them is really, really good.
Well, also, in relation to that, I like that when they go to a bookshop, they go in the town doing errands or something before confirmed terror. And they've been like reported stuff to the police as there've been like suspicious things going on outside the house.
Right.
But they go to the town and they get a book, and the guy in the bookstore is watching the news going, it's all these crop circles were just to show us
sell soda. Yeah, he's counting the soda ads.
13 of them now. And I'm like, yes, representation for skeptics who are like, no matter how provable aliens or ghosts are, in whatever story,
they just refuse to believe it.
There's always a fucking gimmick. There's always some ulterior motive, and I'm like, good. There should be plenty of people, because if there were loads of crop circles, people like me would be like, there'll be some reason. It's not going to be aliens. It never is the thing. So I'm glad. And even in the bookstore, like, I think we accidentally ordered a book about aliens. Yeah. Please take this, and then frighten your family by bringing up all the stuff that a scientist presumably knows accurately.
She also said, like, we decided to keep it for the city people.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I guess the city people are all into their weird stuff, like aliens and gay parades. Like, it's very much like small conservative town.
Yeah, they haven't come here for a Stephen King or a Dan Brown.
Another bit as well, before I finally get to the pantry scene, I want to talk about is, but it did remind me, whenever he goes to the chemist to get the asthma medication for his kid.
And he has to give a confession to him.
Again, really good little, like, Spielberg-style jokes of her starting the confession, and then it cuts back and she's still confessing, and it's, is douchebag a curse word? Well, it depends how you use it. Yeah. And then, but like the shot of Mel Gibson as he's listening to this, and then the guy behind him in line peeking out to see.
Oh, yeah, that's funny. And also, then if you're a pharmacist, there probably are legitimate reasons to say douchebag. I would have thought.
That's why he asked about context. Yeah. But, and then the bit where he finally joins them in the pizza restaurant and says, I don't want any of you hanging out with any names, the chemist.
It is all the way through, there's quiet humor that helps punctuate the tension.
It is one of the things that really helped the film move along to me, because, like, the I thought the pace was really good. When I saw it was like an hour and 46, I was like, oh God, what's how much of this is just going to be a slog? But it wasn't. Like, it didn't feel that length.
So anyway,
but the humour didn't land.
You don't think so?
No, the script was really good. But there was this sort of... For the tension, they deployed a lot of silence. And silence is bad for comedy.
Well, so it when depends jokes, how you use it.
So when some jokes happened, you weren't ready for it because the tense silence was there.
Well, I don't know.
It didn't happen all the time, but there was the occasional joke where I was like, oh, that would have been funnier if it wasn't a tense silence right now.
I don't know. I can't remember any exact instances of that. A lot of the time they used noise to convey that we're safe at the minute. The crows are freaked out. And then the crickets go silent when the aliens are around. Yeah. Like noise means that the animals are usually aware of the outside animals are aware before the humans that there's like creatures out there. But I don't remember any bits where they're like I don't remember them mixing up the tension with comedy.
I actually
very often
this pantry scare.
Oh
actually
yes,
does.
So M. Night Shyamalan has cut a middle bit of a lemon in two. And a few strands of pepper and some carrots or whatever. And all the other bits of the vegetables are nowhere. Just a selection of partially cut. It really annoyed me that there was just a small amount of cut veg.
I am glad that I wasn't the only one who noticed the odd formation of chopping he'd been doing.
Where's the bits you've chopped away? You've only got a couple of... It's really weird.
But there's an alien trapped in the vet's pantry, and Mel Gibson goes in to have a look, and I really liked the setup, and this is one of the things where it mixes a little bit of comedy with the scare, and it kind of does like it puts you at ease and then hits you with the jump scare, but it does it in a way that it's paced oddly, which are the kind of jump scares I like. And so he takes the knife that M. Night Shyamalan's character had been using to weirdly cut vegetables wrong. And he like slides it under the door, and then for ages, the audience is seeing the reflection in the knife.
Just and, like the cupboard.
And this is like where you're expecting at some point the alien to be like in the in the knife reflection. But then it cuts to this really strange angle, like we're looking up from the floor by the door of Mel Gibson, and he like puts knife down and walks away, like shaking his hands.
Like,
and
I've
it was a really
deal with this.
Yeah, it was a really good bit of like anxious acting where he was like, and then he comes back, and what I was expecting was that he was going to pick the knife up again, put it back under the door, turn it, and then there'll be an alien looking right into the reflection.
Mm.
But instead, when he lies down, it immediately cuts to a shot of the under the pantry door, and the hand is already halfway out reaching for him, and there's no like huge big like music sting, at least not that I remember. The hand's just there, and that was one of the, I think that was the only moment in the film where I was like, ugh, fuck, because I just wasn't expecting it. And then following that up with the immediate chopping off of the fingers, and they both scream, which I liked as well.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, and right before that, Mel Gibson pretending to be a cop.
Badly. Yeah, oh. Perhaps Abby, this is a good example. Is it's Mel Gibson being a shit priest? I think you said he seemed like a priest, Abby. Did you when he was doing
yes.
that?
Yes, I did quite a good. He does a good job of a lame priest pretending to be a cop. That's not the kind of thing I mean so much as I don't know. I think this was funny. I don't think Shyamalan knew it was funny. It was just funny.
Oh, well.
It's Mel Gibson just sort of riffing and making it up.
I'm willing to give him credit. I don't know. You know,
I think it was funny when it happened, so he kept it in. Especially Mel Gibson saying paddy wagon and then really quietly to himself mouthing paddy wagon. And it, like the voice being almost like a cartoon police officer.
Yeah.
Don't throw your life away. So he's not sounding like Bruce Campbell.
I know, it's good stuff, I felt. And then to have that visceral chopping of fingers, but to abandon it, like, and be like, right, that's enough of that.
But, yeah, just leave it in there.
Not,
don't worry
it's
about
like
it.
A hero
example,
Yeah, go on.
Well, one of the other things that bothered me was when you did see the aliens, they were really slow and ineffectual.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, I did. When I brought up the baseball bat thing, it is these aliens, they're crowding, they're surrounding the house. We don't really see them. There's enough of them. They're clever enough to do some banging to make it think that. And like, there's a theory that they're pretending to get in the basement when actually they're right. sending someone round to sneak this... in. And it's like, but they also, they're not very good at anything.
I know.
They have spaceships and they map out where they're going to land with these crop circles that somehow help them. But they're like, they're just blokes who stand there in the nude.
It's so, yeah, I don't buy this idea of like, well, they want to come down, but they're going to do like fucking hand-to-hand combat because they know if they use weapons, we'll use nukes.
I know. That was so
like,
violent.
What the fuck are you talking about? They've got ships. Like, why would they? Like,
that is out of his crackpot book, though.
I know, but it also seems to be that is what they're doing.
Yeah, it's the equivalent of saying, like, oh, there's a farmer, like, you know, they got corn in this, but someone who farms corn, and they go, well, of course, when a farmer farms corn, he does hand-to-hand combat with each of the...
hand-to-hand combat.
He does hand-to-hand combat with each with each ear of corn, because that's the perfect way to harvest.
Okay, so I did have a thought about this after the fact, because when I was watching it, I was like, well, why are they coming here on ships using crop circles to map out the planet? Presumably, if they surveyed the planet, they would have seen it covered in fucking water and not bothered. But also, like, come out of their ships completely naked.
Well, they might not have claws, or maybe the part of their ability to change color and mirror textures is something they want to work. You know,
what should have happened is they should have done a survey, realized that there was water on the planet, come down in some kind of suit that protects them from it, and that's how we beat them: is we puncture the suit, they just got the water die.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit like we land on the moon and we're like, well, we can't breathe there, but we'll try it. This is one big breath for Neil Armstrong. And a real long wait before he passes out and dies. His eyeballs pop out.
But no, it's really, it's just an odd, and I mean, it's not even just that there's water on the planet, there's water in the fucking air. Like,
yeah, it's obscene. I think M. Night was thinking, well, War of the Worlds is cool, and it's germs, spoilers, that take down the tripod aliens and that. And you go, well, that's like a subtle way to kill aliens. You go, yeah, but that kind of is real life, isn't it? Where we go to, like, when Europeans
another country
go to America,
and then
smallpox, like, diseases are new to the, you know, we cross.
I also don't think
places where the germs are different and stuff.
I don't think anyone would have, like, begrudged him if he'd just used the same twist and it was a, like, subtle sort of readaptation of War of the Worlds. That's fucking fine.
Maybe they turn just the asthma... The kids got asthma and they turn his inhaler into a weapon and puff them.
Or just have, instead of the little girl having this weird thing with water that then sets up glasses of water all over the house, which I did think was funny, just have her have a cold for the whole movie. And then,
because this only goes over like a couple of days.
Exactly.
This little kid
she sneezes
in
an alien's face, and then right when Joaquin Phoenix is hitting it with a bat, it starts sneezing and just fucking keels over dead. And that's why we find they ended up leaving.
And then the wife says, "Spit away,
cover your nose when you sneeze."
What's weird is this kid's putting three glasses of water on top of a TV. Come on, guys.
That's the thing. I was an absolute fiend for glasses of water, but I was never putting them on top of a television.
Yeah, but it's a CRT TV. Those things are basically just tables anyway.
I guess. So, Jamie, you have some sort of...
You have
some sort of explanation about why it isn't stupid that the aliens invade Earth.
Kind of. So... You know, this film came out in 2002, so, like, I think this may not have been something that would have occurred to people then, but I think watching it now in 2023, this is something that maybe makes a bit more sense. We all know the story of the rich people going down to the Titanic in a poorly made submersible.
Sure.
Until it eventually got crushed by the pressure of the sea. And they were
warned that
was going to happen.
Were just tourists,
they were warned multiple times that that little thing couldn't withstand the pressure, and they fired the guy that warned them and then sued him. and kept doing it until what he said was going to happen happened. We've seen that. We watched Elon
Why
Musk.
can't the Titanic just stop killing people?
We watched Elon Musk buy Twitter and completely tank it.
Sure.
We watched Brexit happen. We watched Donald Trump become the president. What I'm saying is,
people and aliens therefore are dumb.
It's hubris. These aliens,
have come here to hunt humans for sport, but they're
their middle fingers in the air.
Knobs.
Yeah, they've come. They're little rich boy aliens who've come on their special ships with their middle fingers in the air after all the other aliens in their species said, "Well, don't go there. It's covered in water. It's going to fuck you up." And they've gone, "Whatever. You can't tell me what to do." And then they've come down and they've immediately fucked everything up for themselves. And
they got really half cocked. Yeah.
Yep. It is basically the alien species equivalent of them just buying Twitter and then tanking its stock.
Them sort of rifling through their house is the equivalent of picking something out of someone's bins and going, "Yeah, I got a trophy."
Yeah.
Well, well done, you got a fucking mug, mate.
It is just that they're a bunch of dickheads who wouldn't take no for an answer.
I like this theory because it was basically some military clever clogs who's like, "Oh, it's an invasion force." And like this book the kid has, it's not like the book and the speculators on Earth are right. Okay, the signs could, not the signs Mel Gibson's getting, but the signs of, like, for the aliens to map out Earth with the crop circles. All this stuff is like, we're speculating they're doing that. But you're right, it could just be dickhead aliens on a fucking lads weekend who think
that's
they could do
That's my 2023 read of it, is it's a bunch of rich boys. They're, like, their planet's equivalent of a bunch of, like, young, privileged dicks with too much money,
yeah,
who know, like, no matter what anyone tells them,
they haven't
they're
got the
adamant
equipment.
That they're right. Yeah,
so
they don't
really,
know because they don't need to.
The spiritual sequel to the film Explorers.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I actually, I didn't expect your theory to be so pleasing, but it really is. Like, forget what humans were giving them the benefit of the doubt. Oh, they've got UFOs or they've come to Earth. They must be geniuses. No, no.
They just assumed they'd be able to easily wipe us off the planet. And then
there was a genius somewhere along the line in the sense that they invented space travel.
I mean, yeah.
What happened after that?
I'm not saying that it's necessarily they're like the peak of the species. Maybe these are the rich kids of like the top of the line of their species. Yeah. So that's why they have access to all of these ships.
They are the dregs of an intelligent species.
Yeah, the ships that they used are the equivalent of the poorly made rich person submersible going down to the Titanic.
There's a definite sub-predator vibe about these aliens.
Yeah.
They're stupid and they don't know what they're doing.
That's why the one
them.
That grabs the kid and is like holding him hostage is also standing there as a kind of in kind of like, what now? Because like,
well,
I wasn't expecting a confrontation.
I picked up your kid and he's very limply in my arms. And I'll let you have a flashback and then I'll let Joaquin Phoenix take an eternal amount of time to look at the baseball bat, get it off the wall.
It completely works
there.
if you go with my theory of you know, that kind of thing. You don't think this is what we're going to see in this fucking Mark Zuckerberg, Elon Musk cage fight? Just two fucking weird alien nerds staring at each other for too long?
It's going to be Napoleon Dynamite in real life.
Also, who's Elon not an alien? Has anyone seen his torso? What the fuck? That's not a human torso, is it? And Zuckerberg's got dead alien eyes. I mean, something's a
fuck. See what I mean? This theory holds, ironically enough, a lot of water.
Yeah. Yes.
Very good. But yeah, you know, the kid does get gassed with the old wrist gas. The only thing they have is a gas attack or something.
In a weird little prehensile penis that sprays in people's faces.
What I liked on the news or the radio, they sometimes get reports on what's going on in the rest of the world. The TV's out for a bit, and then the wacky finds batteries for a radio, and that tells them some stuff.
They've been asleep for 12 hours. Swell.
That's good, isn't it? Just have a good
I've
nap.
Been there.
Oh yeah, I'm not begrudging them at all. Like just being so stressed that you just go to sleep and then just fucking you're out for a day.
For sure. What I was going to bring up is they say that can't remember, is it, I don't know, is it Saudi Arabia or some desert?
Somewhere, they say somewhere in the Middle East, they've discovered a primitive way to
fight
defeat
off the
them.
Aliens. You go, I thought, so in a desert, they found water.
Yeah.
Of all the places.
Well, they tried pushing one down a well.
There's just some rich Saudis who had a bunch of super soakers, and they were.
Well, they had all the water, like fucking Immortan Joe and Bad Max.
Oh, yeah, they were hoarding it, and then, I don't know, it took on the wrong person in their lavish swimming pool.
I thought it. The film doesn't do it, but I kind of feel like it would have made more sense if they stressed more that the marks that they were putting, like the signs that they were putting on the Earth as the map, were in places that didn't have a lot of access to water. Like it being in a
cornfield.
Well, M. Night
Shyamalan
didn't...
mentions it, doesn't he? He's like, I'm going to hide it in a lake. I'm
yeah,
going
he
down
does.
To the
but,
lake.
But they say that it's all over the world and over a bunch of cities. So yeah. It sounds like that's not what's happening.
How are we making a crop circle in the city? Is that like just a scrapyard? All the metal gets squished or something?
Good question.
I don't know. Because the other thing with all crop circles, when they happen, people investigate them, and then people who want to believe in aliens or the paranormal are like,
me.
Well, of course, you can't bend crops so perfectly this way. And it's, yes, it's so implausible that corn can be squished in the same manner across all of them.
It reminded me of the joke in Ghostbusters where he said, yeah, no, humans could stack books this way.
It does feel that
no humans could stack glasses of water this way.
Mm-hmm.
There is a little...
You couldn't organize a bunch of people to do something like this.
Speaking of minor shared universe stuff.
All right, yeah.
There is a little bit of a suggestion with the daughter and the mother that they have some kind of precognitive ability. Like it comes up enough and it's consistent enough that I think it's deliberate.
Well, they foreshadow the one of the early lines is about water, isn't it?
Yeah, but also the girl talks about she seems like she has this, she's had a dream.
Oh, right,
that the
yes.
Brother's gonna die, and she says she saw what's happening in her dream, and then that makes what her mum said before she died makes it seem like it's more like as she's dying, she's seeing what's coming.
Well, maybe.
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say he did that on purpose.
Oh, right.
I think
the dream, if it's there to creep out adults who are like, oh, these kids, because it's all the kids are investigating the cornfield, and they find the first crop circle, and they were just, they went out because the dogs were acting up. And so the kids are, and then the little boy has figured out that. The police officer tells, I've got a walkie-talkie. Basically, a baby monitor is a walkie-talkie. You should play with a baby monitor. And then luckily that picks up on some sort of alien frequency.
I like this. I did like the spooky sounds coming out of the baby monitor. Ooh. As someone who, like a fucking lame prick watches EVP videos. I did like that.
Do they ever establish where the other end of that baby monitor is? Because it's not one thing. It has another end.
With the dead baby. Oh. Yeah, they don't, do they? They just have one end of a baby monitor. Like, it doesn't work like a walkie-talkie. And so it just, I don't know.
Hey, don't worry
Wi-Fi
about it.
Wi-Fi shit. Don't think about it. Yeah, don't matter. They forgot. They couldn't find their other dog. They were like, oh, a dog. Never mind the other end of a baby monitor. It's just there to be something to help us be scared. And that's the thing. A lot of this stuff is put in to be creepy because it's trying to be a tense pseudo-horror film sci-fi. So it's got this, the kids know shit.
No, I think that's that's part of the setup. The kid having some kind of precognitive ability is shared with the mother. I think that's very deliberate.
But that's all ooky kooky stuff that's fun for a movie. And I think it's just like, let's have as many ways that, I think it's scarier if the adults are like, come on, this is just children being wound up by, the dogs are acting up. Or
nerds who can't get girlfriends.
Yes. But the nerds were right. That's what they shouted this.
Yeah.
So
I also liked the kid. What's her name? The kid who plays the daughter. She's not a kid anymore. She's fucking.
Sure. Mostly Bo or something in the film.
Yeah, Abigail Breslin.
Right, yeah.
Like in the middle of that conversation, why can't they get girlfriends? This is another one of those films where I'm like, do I dislike kid actors as much as I think I do? Because they're both really, really good, especially her, because she looked, she's, what, 5'6" in this film?
Look, Culkin is doing exactly the same. I guess he has the same voice as his brothers.
Yeah, they're like, very the similar.
Same, the same slightly eerie thing that they all can do when,
well, that's because
when they have
they're
to defend their houses.
That's, yeah. Well, it's also because they're from a crop of children who were raised and abused to be actors.
Sure. There's instantly something a bit, you know, wrong there.
But no, both of the kids are good. And again, I always go into a film and I see there's like young child actors and I'm like, oh God. They, oh. But nope, yeah, both really, right, really good. I mean, there's a reason that they're both still acting.
Do you agree, Abby? Were you like less annoyed by kid actors? It's often something that bothers you.
They were both fine.
That's
she
enough for
was,
me.
She was that age where, like, she was doing her best, but she's too young to understand what she was doing.
Sure,
she
was, yeah.
She did her best with it.
She's there to be cute and say, not like, say odd things and be in, like, I guess, a princess dress for informally.
I mean, again, I have a six-year-old daughter. Okay. That is normal.
And then the boy is a bit more like despondent. He's sort of a bit more connected to the grief of his mum, I think.
Yeah.
And so he's a bit more, I am strange.
Another thing I wanted to give the film some credit for is I liked that it didn't belabor the tension in the family because of what happened to the mum too much. Like,
no.
it does come up, and there's, you know, there's obviously that dinner scene. No. But there's like an unspoken tension, particularly between the father and the son. That just isn't, like, the film doesn't like beat you over the head with it. It's just sort of there, and then it finally comes to the surface whenever things are about to kick off, and then it's resolved in that one scene. Like, it comes to a head as it naturally would. Like, it's done in a way that isn't very sort of cheap the way a lot of movies will do it, which again I was surprised by, because for some reason in my head I've just tied M. Night Shyamalan to like schlock for whatever reason.
I think you went in going expecting more driving a pickup truck through some corn to get away from a UFO.
Yeah.
And like more violence and more stupid shit. And it's just like, fuck, what's that silhouette on a roof? Followed by we can't find the aliens.
I wasn't expecting it to be so tonally similar to Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
It is,
in terms of the comedy and the sort
realism,
of like family drama.
Formal.
Yeah.
I love the scene of that where he's fucking chucking dirt about the place. It's really good.
That's probably one of my favorite films. Even with how dark the ending is now, when you realize that a dad just abandons his family to go with aliens.
I watched it later in life, so it has a different. It's not like some old thing that I watched as a kid, so it was different for me. But like, we're not talking about that. It did have that. It did tonally feel like that. I think
a little bit of Jaws as well. Again, similar kind of humor.
I think M. Night did well to be in the same conversation as a Spielberg movie, I think. At least with me and Jamie, maybe less so you, Abby. But it's... the thing I wanted to compliment was it knew to do kids, like, kids will believe anything and are suspicious, and like questioning and easy to believe stuff. And it's scarier if the characters don't want to accept there's aliens for a long time.
Right.
Like Joaquin Phoenix does quicker. And then Mel Gibson's like, even though he's an ex-man of faith, he's very much like, don't be silly.
Yeah.
Everything is explicable. I have to keep my family safe but sensible. Let's not jump to conclusions. And it's scarier then when people are like, oh my God. And it puts you in the shoes of, well, I'd be like, no. Then I'd be like confronted with the next scary thing. And I'd be like, well, it must be. It's getting weirder, but something must explain it. And so it puts you in their shoes better that way, I think. Sells you on, if you just jump in with the alien invasion, it wouldn't be scary, would it? You just go, well, Will Smith will be along, he'll save us all.
I think part of what I enjoyed about it is, and it's part of that like Spielberg legacy of directors that have kind of picked up that habit of his. No matter how much people tell you it's something you shouldn't do in writing or screenplays or whatever, I like exposition and suggesting what may be happening, and how much of this film is that, and like discussing what might be going on until it finally pays off.
Yeah, I think its virtue is it's not a big action sci-fi fight the aliens thing, and it's not some can we find out if the aliens are good or bad? It's just fuck, what is this? Oh shit, we're in trouble. What would you do? And what you would do is try and pretend you're a policeman to an alien in a cupboard and then run away and then board your family in badly and let your dogs die and then wake up the next day and go, oh, thank fuck. Like, fuck, it's over.
Yeah,
I didn't
I
have to do
did
anything apart from
the.
beat up one alien.
I did feel like it was a. It does go a bit heavy-handed in the scene where the kid like recovers from his asthma attack. Like it didn't.
His
There's a bit
lung,
of.
please let his lungs be closed. You have an asthma attack.
It's
Do your
like,
lungs close when
do you
you're
know
having an
what this
asthma
is?
attack?
This is again, and it happens at another point in this film, which I think I brought up earlier. But it's doing the thing that he did in The Sixth Sense, where after he reveals the twist, he then goes back and shows you all the clues. And it happens in this where, you know, it shows the alien holding the kid only has two fing like it has two fingers missing or half fingers missing, and then it shows you a flashback clip of him with the knife. And then it's again in this bit where he's like his lungs were closed, the poison didn't go in. Like, don't tell us that. Like, show the thing happen, and then make us think about what we've seen to draw the conclusion. If some people come out with it going, "Oh, don't get it," fuck them.
Yeah,
They
tough
weren't.
tits, isn't it? It wasn't that
Yeah,
hard to
they
get.
weren't. Yeah, exactly. They weren't watching. They weren't paying attention. They can fucking watch it again. Take fucking notes.
You want them to
Like,
watch it again anyway, get
yeah.
another watch of
You
it.
know, it's my big fucking frustration with The Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
It comes up here as well. And yeah, that bit at the end where he's like, his lungs were closed. Like, no, if you just show me him having an asthma attack and then having problems breathing, and then you see the poison spray in his face, and then he wakes up and he didn't get
He's
poisoned,
had his asthma cured.
I will make the connection that it was something to do with his asthma. You don't need to tell me.
I hope his lungs were closed.
And then there's a little bit of slow motion there as well at the end. I was like, well, you don't. That's a bit fucking corny for a film.
They took a
For
lot. They
how
took.
this film has been quite not realistic, but oh, you know what I mean. Like it, the slow motion at the end doesn't fit the style of the rest of the film. It's a bit strange.
Maybe not. The only other thing I wanted to remember mention as a good thing was the hug they have after they fight during the Let's All Have Different Foods.
Yeah.
All the kids are like hugging, and then Mel Gibson has to reach in and pull
Grab,
Matthew Peterson in as
yeah.
well.
He's just
That
kind
was
of
kind of
sitting there,
cool.
like, "Oh fuck, this is fucking weird."
But yes, it's got a lot of wacky, questionable bullshit, but I think it has so many things I like about it. I can forgive the dopiness of the aliens and the water concept because I enjoyed the little jokes and observations, and I was drawn into
Yeah.
the slow build paranoia and threat of invasions. And I felt like it did some stuff like, you have to do a crop circle movie, don't you? And this is the one that sort of cornered the market on let's do something to do with crop circles that's a bit scary.
I think it's, I mean, on a bigger sense, I feel like the crop circle thing is meh, whatever for me, 'cause like
It's a jump
this,
off point, but it's a
yeah,
part
it's
of
not
pop
the point.
culture that is such a tempting area to begin an alien story with.
Yeah,
You
the only
can't not no
problem
one else
I
can do crop circles now because it's like, well, science did it.
yeah but like I just the water thing, as we've heard, I can kind of explain away in my own
Sure.
headcanon. The major issue I have with the film is really, I do think Abby's right in that I don't mind the invasion stuff, but I do think we could have pulled back on it a little bit
Smaller,
and just
just
had
a
a little bit
family.
less.
Because there's loads of stories of one person living, like it's mutilated some alien, an UFO has mutilated a cow, and then someone's been abducted, and it happened to
Right.
them, and no one else believes you.
Yeah.
That it could have been a no one else believes you story as well.
Right. But I'm okay with the invasion stuff, but there could have been less of it, I think. And I wish they hadn't shown that one alien quite so much at the end. And I don't
They
know
had to. I
if
don't know what they could have done otherwise.
just they didn't though.
Don't
You
have
could
him
have shot
standing there
around it.
breathing and doing nothing.
No, but well, I
What
don't
do you
know.
think, Abby? Final thoughts from you? I mean, They do, yeah, Jamie thought they shouldn't sell so much of the alien. He agreed with you about maybe not have a world event happening.
Yeah, it's more. They just needed to be a little bit more disciplined in places where it's like trim that little bit from there. Maybe not so much add bits in, but trim the bits to give more emphasis to the stuff that worked.
Yeah,
and they. It's just seeding. They seeded things throughout, but then when they did pay off, it was kind of lame. So, like the baseball bat thing, where it's like you don't need to have had previous skill.
You don't need to be the best at home runs, but shit at baseball generally.
To be able to hit someone. An alien with a bat.
Yeah, especially because the alien doesn't defend itself.
Yeah,
it didn't. It didn't hit it, you know, 507 like miles or whatever it was, or kilometers. Yeah, I don't know what they measure it in.
And they didn't even need to do that to justify having a bat in the house. Some people just have a bat in the house.
You don't need.
This is America. It's America. They have guns in the house.
Shoot away! The mum was a gun nut, and she's like, "Fire away, kiddo." Like, you don't even need a clue. It's like, if there's an alien near us, you twat him with a bat. You don't need any clue about it, do you?
You twat him with whatever you got.
Like, you know,
if anything, it was weird that he really specifically thought of the baseball bat. I would have just grabbed the first thing that was there and started tossing it at his fucking head.
You'd have instantly twatted him with a glass of water. I think also the alien gases the kid straight away, so it wasn't ideal. The alien
he didn't gas
the
him
kid.
Straight away. There was like a good 20 seconds of everyone just standing there.
I think just standing there was fine because it was like, what the fuck do we do on all sides? The alien too. Everyone was like, Christ.
But as soon as they're hostile, the alien's like, your kid's gassed. Fuck you.
Yeah.
But then what's he even care? He has a grudge against some guy he saw through the blade of a knife. I mean, the crack.
Well, no, he cut his fingers off.
He cut his fingers off, but he didn't see Mel Gibson to know who he even was.
He could read.
I would hate to put that down to like smell or any other extra senses that they have as an alien being.
I like they wanted the joke about the tinfoil hats being in the book and then they're wearing them because they believe now. And then they were like, oh, we didn't bring our tinfoil hats into the basement. It's like, yeah, because we weren't making a film where we were to wear tinfoil hats the whole time. Like, that's stupid. We're not doing that. The thing for me that I definitely would change is don't have the director and writer be the guy who's like, I killed your wife. I know that the water hurts them. And also I've trapped an alien. Bye. Like, do you got yourself that role of all that?
He does that. He's the doctor in the Sixth Sense. He's like, he always gives himself a significant cameo.
Be a diner who gets up and lets the family sit there. Don't fucking showboat and sat crying by a tree because you think you're an actor all of a sudden. I guess he is an actor. He does act in things.
He's not great. He's okay in this, partly because I think the situation the character is in, him being a little bit detached and flat, sort of makes sense because he's like just like mentally checked out because of what happened.
Yeah. Anyway, so for me, Signs is enjoyable, but you have to see past the flaws, which I don't often do. It occupies an interesting place
shocked
in my mind.
That you liked it as much as you did.
I got some stupid alien shit in it. That's fun, isn't it? I'm not that hard to please. Plus, Mel Gibson genuinely. Yeah, I am not. Like, Mel Gibson is just really good subtle acting because he's going against type. He's not some epic hero. He has to do some really complicated. Like, when M. Night Shyamalan apologizes, he does a real good. I'm going to cry.
He looks like he's going to cry, but is also going to like scream in rage. Like he doesn't know whether to like cry or like strangle the guy. It's a really good little. There again, fucking praising him, but there's a lot of good like subtle like face acting from Mel Gibson in this film.
There is
Joaquin Phoenix too.
Yeah, Joaquin Phoenix is known to be a good actor, and I think Mel Gibson's thought of as a big blockbuster.
Right.
Guy and an anti-Semite, but you know what I mean? Like, he isn't thought of as being
typically, it's like Lethal Weapon, Mad Max,
What women want.
Generally, yes. Yeah, it's all like, that stuff and anti-Semitic rants from drunk driving.
Yeah. kudos, that part of him. He is talented in that department. Well done. I was surprised. And it holds up. It's not too bad. I think you could also watch it and have a laugh at how corny it is at times. But the humour is deliberately in it, so fair play there.
It does. It makes up. It's made me want to somewhat revisit other Shyamalan films that I haven't seen, but I've heard are good. Probably won't be checking out The Village or The Happening or Avatar. But is it called Avatar? Or is it called The Last Airbender?
I think it's The Last Airbender.
Okay, they couldn't call it Avatar at this point, I guess.
Well,
or it came out before the James Cameron.
The cartoon was out before, anyway.
Yeah.
I know. I don't want to watch stuff like old. I'm just like, this is enough. This is my toe dipped in the Shyamalan.
No, but I mean, I've only ever seen Unbreakable once. Like, sure. I might watch that again. Like, or even The Sixth Sense, just to revisit that as well. Like,
yeah.
It just kind of reminded me that, like, oh, he is actually a good director. He just hobbles himself sometimes.
Sometimes. It is his own, yeah, he rigs a rod for his own back sometimes. So, Abby, is this a thumbs up for you or like a, well...
It's a weak thumbs up. Like, it could have been better than this, but it's not terrible.
Yeah, it's true. I think, yeah, that's it in a nutshell.
I think I was shocked that it wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
For some reason in my mind, I've built it up as like a big flop, like a awful bomb.
You can like the crap, the stupid stuff. I like that it's shit, stupid at times. And when it's not stupid, it's fun. Like, I don't know.
Well,
like
the humour, the somewhat self-aware tone that it has kind of helps that.
It gets it right off the hook. Anyone who slags off Signs and makes fun of how stupid it is like, I don't know, I think Signs knew a little bit. It was aware of what it was doing. You know.
I don't remember The Sixth Sense having this much of a sort of... self-awareness to it. It's a more kind of straightforward kind of gloomy horror.
Aye. Anyway, I feel like we should have got a sign to finish the podcast sooner than this, but now better late than never.
The aliens were ghosts the whole time.
What?
The sign is I'm very thirsty.
My parched throat that can't talk anymore.
Pick up a glass of water and smack it to her with a baseball bat.
It is all this talk of water that's made you dry throated, Abby. So pour yourself a glass of water, then pour yourself four more till you are fully quenched and have only drunk a little bit from each. And we'll catch you next time for another film chat from us and stuff. I don't know how to sign off still. Goodbye.